We are doing Mishlei. We're up to the 21st chapter, the 20th verse. Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf. Shlomo HaMelech tells us, let's dedicate our learning tonight to Sara Chaya Bat Dani HaKohen. 21st chapter, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf. Shlomo HaMelech tells us, Otzar Nechmad Vashemin Binvei Chacham. In the home of the wise person, you will find precious things that he has stored. You will find oil. He conserves things. Uchsil adam, but the fool of man, yevaleenu, will swallow it. What does a fool do? He gets his paycheck. First thing he does is spend it. What does a wise man do? First thing he does, put some in savings. Shlomo HaMelech tells us, a wise person is going to have things in his storage house. He saves things for a rainy day. A fool, he spends it right away. The average person thinks, if I made a living today, I'll make a living tomorrow. If my stock market went up today, how much is it going to go up tomorrow? That's why people lose money. Yosef comes before Pharaoh, and he tells him the explanation to his dream. And he tells Pharaoh, you should know you'll have 7 good years and 7 bad years. Ve'ata yere Pharaoh ish navon ve'chacham v'shiteo al eretz Mitzrayim. Now, Pharaoh, I'm telling you, a word of advice. After I've explained all the dreams, Yosef adds and says, now you have to take a wise person and place him in charge of the land of Egypt. And he will divide the land of Egypt and tax them during these 7 years so that there will be food for the 7 years of famine. Paro hears Yosef and he turns to his advisors and he says, Animtza chaze, will we ever be able to find a man like this? Ish ashruach elokim bo, a man whose God's spirit is within him. Where can we find a guy like this? What was so spectacular about Yosef? Yosef told them, you know, I'm telling you there will be 7 good years and 7 bad years. And I'm also telling you that you need a wise man to take those good years and store them. Because the average person, when things are going good, he expects they will go better. People make $500,000 a year. They say, well, if I made $500,000 this year, I'll make $500,000 next year. So I could take a mortgage on $5 million. I'll be able to pay off the $5 million over a few years. People don't think, well, maybe this year I made $500,000, and next year I'll be out of a job. People think, if things went well this year, so certainly they'll go well next year. How do they sell you stock? They show you its past. It was going up. The past proves nothing about the future. All it shows you is the past. What will it do tomorrow? No one knows. Yesterday it went up. What's it going to do today? I don't know. But I show you, yesterday it went up, and the day before it went up. Look at the graph. It goes like this. Yeah, till today. Maybe today it'll go like this. I know till today it went up. Does that mean it will continue going up? Doesn't prove anything. But our tendency is to assume if things went up, they'll continue going up. An intelligent person, says Shlomo HaMelech, stores things. He does not assume he will have. So what he has, he takes part of it and puts it away. He stores. A fool, he enjoys it right away. He swallows it right away. So when you come to him and you need to borrow something or when he needs things, he doesn't have them. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Rodef Tzedaka V'chased. A person who chases after charity and acts of kindness, Yimtza Chayim Tzedaka V'chavod. He will find life, righteousness, and honor. Here, the simple understanding is enough. That you seek out righteousness and kindness, then that gives life, right? It's one of the things the world is based on. Doing acts of chesed, right? Olam chesed yibaneh. Olam chesed yibaneh. Moshe, olam chesed yibaneh, right? The world was created for kindness. Avraham Avinu is the essence of kindness. Those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, go to Moshe. I'll give you a whole lecture about it. We spent all week learning that last week. Olam chesed yibaneh. So, if a person seeks out chesed, then he'll have chayim, he'll have life. He'll have tzedakah, and he'll have kavod. All three. Now, there's a deeper understanding here. Tzedakah and chesed are two mitzvot that are difficult to do philosophically. Why so? If I do tzedakah, I walk down the street, I'm on my way home to eat supper, and the guy walks over to me and he says, do me a favor, I haven't eaten in 3 days. My kids are at home and they're starving. Give me something to eat. So I think to myself, sure, how could I go home and eat if I don't give him to eat? So I tell him, come, let's go to the store together. I buy him a loaf of bread, I buy him hummus, I buy him good food, I send him home, and the guy walks home happy, and I walk home happy, and I go to eat. Why did I give him to eat? So that I could eat peacefully. Am I giving him tzedakah because the Torah tells me to do the mitzvah of tzedakah? I'm giving him tzedakah because I have a conscience. I won't be able to sit down for the meal if I didn't give him tzedakah. Let's imagine a different person. He walks down the street. A pauper comes to him and says, you know, I haven't eaten in 3 days. Please give me something to eat. I have children at home. He looks at him and he thinks to himself, I really couldn't care less if you dropped it. But I'm a religious Jew. And the Torah says I'm supposed to give charity. So he says, sure, friend, come with me. Takes him to the store, buys him a pack of pita, buys him his hummus, buys him the same thing I bought him. But where's his heart? His heart is cold as stone. He's just a religious Orthodox Jew. That's what it says in the Torah. That's what he does. He says the same thing I said with the same warm tone of voice because he knows the halacha, that an aspect of tzedakah is how you treat the ani. And more important sometimes than the food you give him is the smile you give it to him with. It's halacha in your day, it's halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So he does the exact same actions. He gives him the food. He says, sure, friend, be well. You should have atzlacha. Hashem should give you better mazel. Gives him the food. The poor man goes home. He goes home to eat his supper. He says, okay, I did the mitzvah. Bon shalom, fine. You didn't want me to have this money. You wanted me to give tzedakah. I gave the tzedakah. He also didn't do the mitzvah correctly. What? God wants us to have hearts of stone? That's what God wants? So tzedakah and chesed are two mitzvot which are a little bit difficult to perform correctly. We're supposed to do the mitzvot because God tells us to do it, and we're supposed to be compassionate people. Both are true. So how do you balance the two? If the reason you're doing it is because you want to do it, because you're a compassionate person, so then you're not doing what God said. You're doing it because you care. If you're doing it because God said so, but you don't care, then you're a cold-hearted person. That's not good. So what's the balance? How do we do what's right? So Rav Shlomo Fisher said, the idea is, when you're sitting at home, and no one's coming knocking at your door, you're supposed to have a conscience. When the poor man comes in and asks you for tzedakah, so a person is supposed to have in mind, I'm doing it because it's a mitzvah that Hashem said so. And a person is also supposed to care. A person is supposed to be a person that cares. How could I go home and eat and leave the poor man starving? Both are supposed to be true. And how do we actually perform the mitzvah in that fashion? So when the guy comes to me, that's what I do. I give him the tzedakah and I care. And I also have in mind I'm performing God's mitzvah. That's what God wants me to do. But the ultimate way to perform this mitzvah correctly is to be sitting at home and no one comes knocking at my door and no one tells me they're hungry. And I'm sitting at home and I say, wait a second, there must be hungry people out there. I could go to sleep because I don't know about them. It's not that they're coming to me and asking me for money. But if I am a rodif tzedakah v'chased, I chase after the tzedakah and the kindness, then I'm performing the mitzvah in its full sense. A person is supposed to be a rodef, one who chases after tzedakah and chesed. It's not enough that a person says, when they come to me, I'll give them. No, a person has to chase after it. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu does. Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting in Paro's palace. Everything's hunky-dory. He's got everything he needs. But no, vayetze Moshe. Moshe goes out of the palace to see. I know my brothers are suffering. I could be in the palace and everything's good by me. But no, Moshe goes out. He sees, how are my brothers doing? That's rodef tzedakah v'chased, one who chases after tzedakah and chesed. Pasuk chafdeh. Ir giborim ala chacham vayored oz mivtecha. The wise person goes up to the city of brave warriors and takes down their strength, takes down the things they had confidence in, because he used his wisdom to overpower them. Wisdom can overcome strength. This is a message in general that the wise can overtake the powerful. Pasuk chaf gimel, shomer piv ulshono, shomer mitzarot nafsho. He who watches his mouth and his tongue is watching his soul from sorrows, from trouble, from terrible situations. Ah, if only we knew this. Chazal told us, milta bechad shtikuta betrein. If a word is worth one, then silence is worth two. Shlomo HaMelech said, Shomer Pivul Shono. He who watches his mouth and his tongue, Shomer Mitzarot Nafsho. is watching his soul from Tzoros. Just watch what you say. Just be quiet. Who asked you to talk? The Gemara says, Hashem says, there is one part of the body that has that I put many protectors on. Before the tongue, I put the palate. Before the palate, I put the teeth. Before the teeth, I put the lips. So many things to hold you back from talking. And yet you open your mouth and talk. So Shlomo HaMelech says, just watch your mouth, watch your tongue, and you'll watch yourself from difficult situations. Very often, if you don't know what to say, don't talk. He didn't say anything wrong. Just watch what you say, Shlomo HaMelech says. Sometimes people go to a job interview and it's going great. So be quiet. You got nothing to gain by talking. You have to say what you have to say. And beyond that, people will be impressed by your intelligence if you're silent. And one of the most difficult things for people to do is to be silent. There are classes that train you in how to bargain. If you want to buy a car, you go to an auction, you're bargaining with people. So you have to know what are good tactics. One of the most powerful tactics is silence. And most people are very uncomfortable when there's silence. You have to know to be quiet. If you're quiet, then the other side will concede. You just have to know to be quiet. Shlomo HaMelech says, just watch your mouth and your tongue, and you'll watch yourself from trouble. Pasuk Chaf Dalit. Zayd Yahir Litz Shimo. If a person is Zed, he is willfully Yahir, proud. He takes pride in things he knows he doesn't have. So he's really a Litz, he's a joker. But he allows himself to do things out of anger that is also willful. Sometimes people feign anger. They show like they're angry, and they allow themselves to get angry, and they allow themselves to speak rudely to other people. A person cuts you in line. You tell them, excuse me, sir, I was here first. And sometimes the person is going to yell at you like, what kind of bum are you? The guy can go on and on and on. Is he really angry at you? He has no right to be angry at you. But he allows himself, he willfully releases anger because he knows he has what to gain by applying that anger. It's one of the tactics that abusive husbands use. They get angry, they lose control. They allow themselves to lose control. Shlomo HaMelech says, it begins by a person being proud when he has no right to be proud. A person knows, I don't know this. I didn't do this. I'm not as successful as I'm saying. But a person is willing to live in a lie. A person is willing to speak like he did. So that evolves. What he's doing is he's saying, what's most important is my honor. Well, if what's most important is my honor, then I could willfully brag about things that I don't have. And then when the time comes, that could also evolve into willfully showing anger when there's no right for anger. And one of the worst things is when a person does that and then he turns and he smiles at you and says, no, I was joking, right? We're okay, right? What do you mean we're okay? You just yelled at me in front of everyone. We're not okay. But sometimes a person does bevat zadon, but leitz shemu. That's what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us. It's the same tactics. Our nature hasn't changed. Pasuk chafei, ta'avat atzel temitenu. The desire of the lazy person is what kills him. Because if you think about it, laziness is simply about doing what I want now. Laziness isn't about doing things the easiest way. I'm lying in bed and it's cold. If I got up and shut the window, it's difficult this second, but for the rest of the night, I will be comfortable. If I'm lazy, I lie there in bed and say, it's so difficult to fall asleep when it's cold. And I could lie there for 10 minutes complaining to my roommate about how cold it is and hoping that he's going to have the decency to get out of bed and shut the window. But he has the decency to assume if you want it shut, so get up and shut it yourself. So I could lie there for 10 minutes, I can't fall asleep. You know, I really can't fall. It's really difficult falling asleep with the window open. Am I doing what's easiest? I'm doing what's easiest short term. A lazy person does what his desire wants this minute. But in the long term, we all pay the price for our laziness. You know you have to make that phone call. You know you have to deal with your parents or deal with your grandparents. you know you're going to have to do it at the end of the day. So deal with it today. Why wait till tomorrow? So you have that overdue credit card bill. If you're not going to pay it today, tomorrow it'll be bigger. How are you going to afford it tomorrow? So you're going to have to ask for a loan. Ask for it today. Why wait till the bill is bigger? Because right now I don't want to deal with it. That's the concept of laziness. It tells us Shlomo HaMelech, Ta'avat Atzel Temitenu, the desire of the lazy person kills him. Because I know I should apply for the job. I know I should join all those online groups where they have job offers, job ops, or this or that. Yeah, but right now I don't want to do it. It means I have to sit down and fix up my resume. It means I maybe have to take a few more courses in Upan. It means I have to do a bunch of things. It's not so convenient. I know I have to go sit in line to get my zchuyot. But I'll get to it. Maybe I'll go and find out I lost my zchuyot. But I don't want to sit there in line. No one wants to sit there in line, but I know I should renew my license. But I'll get to it. What are the odds that a cop will stop me today and see that my license expired? Tells us Shlomo HaMelech, Ta'avat Atzel Temitenu. I know I have to check my brakes. I'll get to it. What's the difference? Are they so accurate? It's 30,000 miles. It's 40,000 miles. I'll get to it. Tells us Shlomo HaMelech, the desire of a lazy person kills him. Tells us Shlomo HaMelech, Ta'avat Atzel Temitenu, the desire of a lazy person ultimately kills him. Ki me'anu yadav la'asot, for his hands refuse to produce. I got to pick up my hands, I have to do something. I don't want to do the dishes, I'll do them tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning all the food you ate is going to be stuck to it. Is it going to be easier or harder? I'll get to it tomorrow. Right now I want to go to sleep. How many times people, you know you have a meeting tomorrow morning, you know you want to get that job, so set up your clothes the day before, set up your knapsack the day before, set up the folder the day before. I'll do it tomorrow morning, I'll have time. What are the odds you'll have time? We all know we wake up late. We all know by the time we get back from Minyan, who has time to set up your folder? You want to get the job, so the night before, prepare your clothing, take the shower, take the shave, prepare the information you need so that the next morning everything will be ready. You'll be able to get there on time. But right now I'm tired. Right now I want to go to sleep. The laziness, the desire of the lazy person kills him ultimately, for his hands refuse to produce. Pasuk Chafad, Kol Hayom Itavat Ta'ava. The lazy person spends his day desiring things because he desires the final product. So Shlomo HaMelech tells us, Kol Hayom Itavat Ta'ava. The lazy person spends his days with desire. He wants things, but he isn't willing to put in the effort to get them. And the tzaddik, he's willing to give, he doesn't hold back. Part of being lazy is that a person is not only focused on himself, but he's focused on himself in the here and now. He can't even bring himself to do something for himself long term. Being lazy is thinking short term. Thinking long term, well, it'll be much easier and sweeter and better if we aren't lazy. But right now, it's more convenient to sit here. So that Shlomo HaMelech tells us that tzaddik is the antithesis of a lazy person. Tzaddik does things quickly, does things with alacrity, he does things thoroughly, and when other people ask him for things, he doesn't start thinking, well, if you wouldn't be so lazy, you would have it. He doesn't think that. He gives and he doesn't hold back. Pasuk Chaf Zayin, Zevach Reshaim To'iva. The offering of the wicked is disgusting before Hashem. Hashem says, hey, you want to bring a sacrifice, so perfect yourself. Sometimes people think I'll do lip service. So I come to shul on Yom Kippur, and I'm clean for the year. It's beautiful. What could be better than that? God says, no, it doesn't work that way. You can't just bring a sacrifice and continue being a wicked person. You have to be a good person. Fix yourself. It's not the sacrifice that's important. The sacrifice is also important, but it's important to bring it as a righteous person, not as a wicked person. Zevach Rishaim To'eva Af Ki Vizima Yevienu. Especially when they bring it with wicked intent. Sometimes a person says, I'll give a donation to shul, or I'll pledge a donation to shul, and everyone will think I'm such a fine person. The Hashem says, certainly, then it's disgraceful before me. Ed Kezavim Yoved, a false witness is lost. A person thinks, if I testify falsely, then I'll ensure a good future. I'll lie, it'll help me out. Shlomo HaMelech tells us the exact opposite is the truth. The lies are what bring us down. The ish shomea lanetzach yedaber. And here there are two understandings, there are a few understandings. One understanding is, don't think that the lie dies. the lie takes on a life of its own. A person hears it and he'll tell it over for eternity. If you're sitting and you say, you think that Mr. So-and-so is such a fine person? I saw him and I don't think he's such a fine person. I saw the other day he went to the store, he took a candy bar from the store, he ate it, and I don't think he paid for it. Now, think to yourself, were you there at the checkout counter? Maybe he paid for that candy bar when he came to the checkout counter. But you said something that's a lie. You testified something falsely. That lie doesn't die. There's a famous Hasidic story about a guy who comes to the Rebbe and says, I spoke Lashon Hara, how do I do tshuva? So the Rebbe tells him, I'll tell you how you do tshuva. Take a pillow, go to the marketplace at dusk, cut open the pillow, let all the feathers fly out of the pillow, and then collect all the feathers. When you've refilled the pillow, then you will have tshuva. God will forgive you for your sin of Lashon Hara. So the guy says, that's it? The Rebbe says, that's it. So the guy goes to the marketplace in the late afternoon. It's getting dark. People are still running around the marketplace. He slices open the pillowcase. He slices open the pillow, lets all the feathers out, and then he starts collecting it. He grabs this bunch of feathers, and a few fly out over there. He tries running after those, and others run over there. People are walking around the marketplace. He's grabbing between people's feet, and he's looking, and he sees his feathers being blown all over the marketplace. And he's looking, and he's collecting, and all night long he's collecting, and then he sees a feather over there on the tree, and he grabs that and puts it in. And he looks at the pillowcase, and his poor pillow is not even half full. The feathers have been blown all over. And he spends all night trying to collect the feathers. Sachako, what does he want? He wants to be forgiven. He wants to do tshuva. And all night long he's running around the marketplace, and every time he looks at his pillow, and he sees that the pillow is nowhere near full. And after spending a whole night running through the marketplace trying to find the feathers, he comes back to the Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, I tried. I opened the pillowcase. The feathers are all over. I tried collecting all the feathers and I can't. And the Rebbe told him, that's Lashon Hara. When you speak badly about something, it's like opening a pillowcase in the marketplace. Now the word is spread all out. People are talking. This person said to that person said to the next person. Everyone's talking. After you've spoken Lashon Hara, you've opened the feathers. Now they're flying all over. A person who testified falsely, he's gonna be lost from the world. But all the listeners, they'll repeat it over for eternity. It'll keep going. So that's one understanding. Another understanding is, a false witness, he will be lost from the world. But a person who is an ish shomeh, he's a person who listens intently, he listens to get things accurately, then what he says over will be quoted for eternity. When you're a person who's accurate in what you say, so people listen closely to what you say and they'll keep quoting you. Pasuk Chavtet. He is ish rasha bifanav. A wicked person shows his anger, his brazenness when he's angry. He lets out his steam, he lets out his anger. The yashav, but an honest person, hu yavin darko, he thinks through his ways. He doesn't let his anger get the better of him. Our sages told us, you want to see what a person is like, you check him out, bekoso, bekiso, uvekaaso. Bekoso, in his cup, when he drinks wine, see what type of person he is. Bekiso, with his money, see where he spends his money, what does he invest in. Ubekaaso, and in his anger, see what happens when he gets angry. And there was once a girl who was dating a guy, and it went very, very well. And they were holding by getting engaged. And someone gave her word that he's a person that loses his cool. He loses his temper. And when he loses his temper, he's a totally different person. So she decided that even though things are going good and everything seems good, she will not get engaged to him till she sees him get angry once. So now that everything seems good, she spends the next 5 dates trying to get on his nerves. And whatever she does, he doesn't get angry. And then one time they're on a date, and she does something innocent. She doesn't even mean to get on his nerves. And then he blows a gut. When she saw how he was, when he got angry, she broke it off. And Baruch Hashem, today she's happily married with children, and she married someone else who's a very, very fine person. Our sages say, you want to see what a person's like, check him out, bekoso, when he drinks, see what he says. Bekiso, look at his credit card bill. What's he spending his money on? Look where a person spends his money. Uvekaso, and in his anger. So Shlomo HaMelech tells us, he is ish rasha b'fanav, a wicked person. He allows his anger to come out. He allows his brazenness to come forth. The yashar, but an honest person, a straight person, he thinks it through. Wait a second. I had a bad day today. I just got fired from my job. So because of that, the next guy in line, I should yell at the next guy in line. I should be abrupt with other people. He thinks through what where he's headed and where his anger will lead him. Part of being an honest person is being honest with ourselves and not letting our emotions get the better of ourselves. Shlomo HaMelech now tells us a pasuk that is so true and yet so difficult to observe. En chokhmah ve'en tvunah ve'en eitzah leneged Adonai. Shlomo HaMelech says there's no wisdom, there's no understanding, there's no advice when you're opposite Hashem. If God said go this way, then all the things you could think in the world, they don't count. God says you have to stop working on Shabbos. On Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to do business. A guy sits there and says, you know what? The stock market is crashing. I'm going to be in shul on Yom Kippur. Let me figure out a way of getting out of this. I can't. All my stocks are going down. Shlomo HaMelech told us, in chokhmah, there's no such thing as wisdom. There's no such thing as taking counsel. There's no such thing as understanding when you're going against God. God said, you shut your business on Yom Kippur. You don't do business on Yom Kippur. That's it. It's over. You want. You have a partner. You figure out halachically how you could get a non-Jew to do transactions. It's going to be very difficult. But, okay, talk to your rabbi. Maybe you'll find a way to do it. But you try to go against God. You say, let me outsmart. Let me figure out a way. Doesn't work. And this verse is applied halachically. If one finds out, he's standing in the marketplace, and he finds out that the jacket he's wearing has shatnez in it. We're prohibited from wearing shatnez. A person can't say, well, I'm the rabbi of the town. I can't walk around without a jacket. The halacha says, no, you take off that jacket. Let's say it's not your jacket. Let's say it's your shirt. I'm the rabbi of the town. I'm going to walk around without a shirt. Tells us the halacha, en chokhmah ve'en tvunah ve'en eitzah leneged Adonai. No outsmarting God. God said you're not allowed to wear it. That means right now you have to take it off. Now, if you're a good friend, you don't have to tell him. Take him home and then tell him there's shatnez. There's a famous story about the Rebbe from Brisk. The Rav from Brisk was once seen running through the streets like a madman without a yarmulke, half dressed, and they came to his brother and they said, go check out, looks like your brother's gone mad. So he ran and he catches up to his brother and he asks him, what's this I hear? You were running around the streets half dressed without a yarmulke. So he said, yes, I heard there's a woman giving birth in the next town, and I heard that she doesn't have a midwife, and I heard that people are talking about getting a midwife. Well, the halacha says if a woman's giving birth, it's pikuach nefesh, and right now in the middle of Shabbos, you stop everything and you get her a midwife. And I heard people talking about it. Well, the halacha says you don't talk, you do, you act. So I couldn't worry about getting fully dressed or putting a yarmulke on my head. Pikuach nefesh means I do it now. Do it now means I go now and do it, even though I'm not dressed and even though I don't have a yarmulke. That's my mitzvah. In chokhmah, ve'en tvunah, ve'en eitzah leneged Adonai. There's no outsmarting. The mitzvah says you have to do it, you have to do it. And our honor is worthless compared to our obligation to perform the mitzvot. So this pasuk is applied halachically. When it comes to biblical mitzvot, we don't take into account our own honor. When it comes to rabbinic mitzvot, there Chazal said, Kvod abriot. We have to take into account a person's own respect, a person's own dignity. Sometimes the Torah tells us, you have to do mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, you have to return a lost object. But let's say you see a filthy magazine on the floor, so you'd never be caught dead with that. So then you don't have to pick that up. Yeah, you're probably forbidden to give it back anyways. It's Slif Naive. But let's say it's not such a filthy magazine. Let's say it's a regular magazine they sell here in Israel. It's Yediot Achronot. So I don't know that there's such a difference between that and filthy magazines, because that's filled with filth. But let's say you could find some room for a leniency. It's a woman's magazine. It says there was a woman who subscribed it. Okay, so she's allowed to see the filthy pictures. So you wouldn't be caught dead with that. So you don't have to pick it up. Torah says you have a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. But you don't have to do Hashavas Aveda with things that you would be embarrassed, that you wouldn't take for yourself. Your neighbor's garbage cans flew out into the streets. You're the chief rabbi of Israel. You're not going to go out and pick up your own garbage cans. You have someone else do it. So you don't have to deal with his garbage cans. There are mitzvot where the Torah itself tells us you go by, we take into account a person's honor. But most mitzvot we do not. When it comes to rabbinic mitzvot, halachically, you're not supposed to take out toilet paper to an outhouse. To an outhouse. Their bathrooms were in an outhouse. And sometimes they didn't have an Erev, so you couldn't carry with you toilet paper. Their toilet paper used to be stones. They had special stones that they used as toilet paper. But the halacha says, let's say you're going to the bathroom, and it's really prohibited rabbinically, the prohibition of taking these stones to the bathroom. It's a rabbinic prohibition. So the halacha says, kvod abrios. Your self-dignity. You're going to go to the bathroom and not have toilet paper? So the halacha says, you may take those stones, even though it is rabbinically prohibited, because of human dignity. When it comes to rabbinic prohibitions, then there are many instances where we take into account human dignity. The same thing is true if a person goes to the bathroom nowadays, and there's no cut toilet paper, and there's no tissues. So he doesn't have to sit in the toilet paper in the toilet and call out to someone, could you get me cut toilet paper? We say, kavod abrios, human dignity constitutes that even though ordinarily we don't tear on Shabbos, so tear, don't tear on the dotted lines. But you could tear. You could tear toilet paper. You don't have to embarrass yourself and call someone to bring you cut toilet paper. Because the prohibition is rabbinic. Because you're not cutting something to an exact measurement and you're throwing it out afterwards. So the whole prohibition of cutting it is rabbinic at best. So there we say that we do take human dignity into account. But if it were a biblical prohibition, there we apply this pasuk, en chokhma ven tvuna ven etza l'neged Hashem. Yes. If you're not embarrassed, that's fine.
Number two, you said women can look at self. What do you mean?
Women have no obligation. Women, it's not zanua, it's not a nice thing, but it's not like men. That let's leave for the question and answer session. Yes. I said smooth, not sharp. Smooth. They're not mukta on Shabbat. Right, they're not mukta on Shabbat. I didn't say they were mukta. I said hotza. I didn't say mukta. I said there's no Erev and you're taking them out. I didn't say they were mukta. The bathroom wasn't in the house. And if you don't have an Erev to go through the yard, so you have a problem. Pasuk Named Aleph. Sus muhan liyom milchama. The horse is prepared for the day of war. Viladonai hachua. But the real salvation is in the hands of God. So on the one hand, we have to prepare ourselves. That's the rule in life. You don't go and say, you guys know the famous joke? The person says, there are two important jokes you have to know. One is about the guy who's drowning. You guys know the joke about the guy who's drowning? The guy's drowning, so they send a life a log passes by, and he doesn't hold on to the log. He says, God's going to help. The rescuers come, they throw him a life vest, they throw him something to hold on to, and he says, God's going to help. The helicopter comes, drops down a ladder, says, climb up. He says, God's going to help. He drowns. He comes to heaven, and he says, God, I relied on you. God says, what do you mean? I sent you the log, I sent you the lifeboat, I sent you the helicopter. What do you mean you relied on me? So that's one story. God doesn't come in a flash and make the sea split and say, okay, now you're okay, buddy. It doesn't work that way. Not unless you're Moses, right? And you're talking about the year 2448. Then it happens. The second story is a guy comes to take out a girl on a date. So her father asks the guy, how are you going to make a living? So the guy says, God's going to help. He says, and where are you going to live? So the guy says, God's going to help. And he says, and when it comes time to pay the medical bills, tuition, how are you going to afford that? God's going to help. So the guy takes the girl out on a date, and after the date, she comes home, and her father says, after the guy leaves, he asks his daughter, how was the date? So the girl says, it was exceptional. The guy thinks I'm God. So on the one hand, okay. That version I didn't know. Okay.
He keeps saying God will provide, but usually the spare provides.
Okay.
He says to his daughter, he's a very nice boy, but he thinks I'm God.
Okay. Okay. Shkach. So, on the one hand, we have a responsibility to do ishtadlut. We have to try. We have to place an effort. God created this world, yagata umatzata. You toil, then you discover. But we have to know it's matzata, you're discovering. It's not that because you toiled, the outcome is that you will succeed. God still controls whether you succeed or not. But God created the world in a way that we have to try. And when we try, God says, you tried, I'll make it successful sometimes, and sometimes I won't. But on the one hand, we recognize he's running the show. And at the same time, we have to know our responsibility is to try. Sus muhan liyom milchama. The horse has to be prepared for the day of war. But we have to know at the end of the day, v'la'ashem ha'teshua, God is the one that controls whether we'll win the war or not. We do the training. We do the preparations. But we have to know that the one who's running the show, who's going to decide when we're successful or not, is Hashem.